Welcome to the Swarmcast, an episodic look at the Southwest Ohio regional meta and the players within. We have tourney players, casual locals, gifted hobbyists, and many more. So come join us down the rabbit hole of Warmer Hordes in the southwest corner of the Buckeye State. Your hosts are Jerry Stonecipher, Aaron Jones, and myself, Mike Corka. Welcome to the Swarmcast. We're turning the lens on the Dayton meta and the Southwest Ohio regional meta. It's what we call the Swarm. We have three stores here. So let's go ahead and get started talking about who we are. So we'll start with Jerry first.
All right. I'm Jerry. I've been playing since beginning of Mark II. I started playing when Battle Engine started coming out. Started out in Legion for a bit, but only played Abbey 1. Got major into Menoth. Then I hopped around with quite a few factions, going into Convergence, Scorn, Signar. And then I quit Signar because that was boring because I kept killing everyone.
As Signar does.
Got back into Menoth. Right now I am playing Menoth and Grimkin, and looking to get into Crucible Guard.
Alrighty, so is it fair to say that you are one of our resident Susses? Special unique snowflake?
Yeah, I like to think so. I focus on some stuff that isn't that powerful, but I'll also look at the unique stuff just to play it. I tend to build lists, not for pairings, but for what I want to play. So, yes, I am a special unique snowflake.
Awesome. Hey, every group needs a special unique snowflake. So, next is Aaron.
I started with Legion back in Mark 1. Just a tiny bit, but mostly was playing Flames of War at the time. Kind of ignored it until Cork here. We started working together, and he dragged me in with Mark II with Kador. And yeah, I did okay with that. Then switched over to Trolls with the Meat Mountain. Yep. And then went back to Legion. Kind of floundered there for a while. And then I got all psyched seeing some of the previews for Mark III with the Beast points. I was like, yes, all Beasts! Yeah, more Beasts! Yeah! And it didn't quite turn out that way, so I kind of slid off, and I'm trying to come back now with Scorn.
Scorn's in a really good spot.
I hear that. We'll see.
So, I'm Mike. I am the competitive one. I go to as many events as I can. I've played at cons and all that good stuff. I've been playing since the end of 5th edition of 40K, so whenever that was. I got tired of their stuff, and went over and traded all my armies in and got bought into a War Machine. Bought like 6 different factions at 35 points and played them for a bit, figured out which one I liked, and then from there decided that Legion was my speed for Mark II. Played Legion for a while and then switched over to Gators for a little bit to learn how to do power attack. And then I needed to learn infantry machines, so I went into Cephalix and then into Crix and played a lot of infantry machine up until Mark III came around. When Mark III got spoiled, I started playing Circle, and that's been my love, and put a quick stint into Rhett, put a stint into Trolls, and now I'm back into Circle. So experience wise, what would you say your experience level is, Jerry?
I'd like to say I'm up there in terms of rules knowledge. I definitely want to say I'm probably one of the most knowledgeable of our meta.
Yeah.
I tend to just be able to, when someone has an issue of that, I'm able to usually just cite off if it's a yes or no real quick, and then look back and be like, yep, I was right. Well, that's just my cockiness talking there. Gameplay wise, I want to say I am moderate to working towards expert. I make a lot of flaws. I don't see several turns ahead like I should be. I still do not know the meaning of retreat.
Yeah, that's a hard lesson to learn. So what about you, Jonesy? Where would you put your experience level at right now?
Considering it's Mark III, and I'm coming back having not really played in just over a year, pretty bad.
Okay.
I have a hard time just looking at rules and numbers and figuring them out. I really have to just face check stuff to form an impression of it that I'll remember.
Right. So one of the cool things about this podcast is we're going to take you guys along this journey with Aaron here. Jonesy is starting back up, and next episode we're going to talk about him starting back up with Scorn, but you guys are going to go along with him in the whole process of him learning how to get back into Mark III, learning how to play the faction, learning how to play the list he's chosen, and learning how to understand it. So for you guys, that's going to be a real treat because you get to see it from beginning to end and where we sit there and go, you know, this is where we start and this is where, you know, we have Aaron at a good moderate level where he can start playing in some events and start feeling comfortable with his gameplay.
I do aspire to be like you, Mike.
No, I'm just a scrub.
Bullshit.
So
can confirm.
My experience has been mostly up until 2 years ago. For about 4 years, I was a press ganger. Jonesy was a press ganger with me and Mark too. But that was most of my experience. I TO'd and EO'd more than I played. And then when the programs started disappearing and Mark III came out, I started really dedicating myself to learning how to play instead of just knowing rules knowledge and being able to run an event. So I basically went to some of our more veteran players and just said, kick my teeth in, let me learn. Show me what I need to do to get better. And sat there and ate humble pie for about 6 months. And then from there, just started getting better and playing in more events. So now I've played at Gen Con in a team tournament event down there. I've played in several Ohio War Machine Championships, played in Indiana's Championship Series in their qualifiers on both for Indiana and Ohio. And so that's pretty much where my experience is. And so we got a little bit of a smorgasbord here. We've got someone who's starting out. We've got someone who's, you know, considers himself midline, and then someone who considers himself experienced. And we'll see if I can help out and Aaron can, you know. Whenever you teach someone, you always learn something from that person you teach. So I'm looking forward to it. So we'll start off with Aaron first. What are you playing? So we know you're playing Scorn, but what are you thinking?
I'm going to go with Makeda 2 for my base caster. I'm leaning towards mostly infantry, swordsmen.
Okay.
I'm pretty open. Other than that, I'll probably throw in Moloch Karn just because I can, even in theme with her.
Okay.
So that'd be Masters of War with her.
So one of the people I talk with out in Indy, and I don't know if I agree with this, but one of the things he says is to sit there and play a faction without themes first. Learn the faction and then go into theme. I don't tend to agree with that because when you play non-theme into theme, my opinion is you hurt for those extra points, at least, and extra bonuses. But it's just something out there for you to think about. But we'll get more into that in the next episode. So, Jerry, what is on your table, playing table right now?
Playing table right now, I am throwing out a Child and Old Witch, both in Dark Menagerie. Each list is a little bit different, but shares quite a few of the same models. Child list right now is 4 Kravitz, all free. 2 Gorehounds, a Rattler, Cage Rager, 2 Skin and Bones, Death Knell, Glimmerimp, 4 Gremlin Swarms, Lady Rose, and a min unit of Dreadrots. Mainly, if my opponent doesn't have any range, and or if they have anti spell, I throw her in and just laugh.
Okay, so you played that list this past Tuesday night.
Yes.
So tell us about those two games.
Well, one of them I actually played with the Child. That was against one of our Kador players. He had dropped Butcher 3.
That'd be Dan.
Yep, Dan. Played Dan. He dropped Butcher 3. I dropped Child. Pretty much that game ended on top of 3 due to some mispositioning on his end. And a Skin and Bones went up to Butcher and at needing 4s to hit and dice plus 6, put him into the dirt real quick.
Yeah, what's cool is Dan is from our Cincinnati meta down south. He drives up Tuesday nights to play with us at the Game Haven. So he gets in about 1 or 2 games every week with us. And then your second game was against Andrew, and you played...
I dropped Old Witch.
Old Witch, okay.
I need an equal spattering there. My Old Witch list is 3 Kravitz free, 2 Frightmares, Cage Rager, 2 Skin and Bones, Death Knell, 4 Gremlin Swarms, Lady Rose, and 2 mini units of Dreadrots. This list I tend to drop into any list that has a heavy mat that their armor cracking involves a lot of shooting. or both lists have a lot of shooting, because Old Witch just says no.
Yeah.
She's also good into anyone that doesn't have a lot of anti-magic tech, because she's able to knock things down, throw out some Curse of Shadows, make it easier for me to be able to just kill the world, especially with the help of the Frightmares, who just throw out corrosion, auto-corrosion on high-armor units. I played against Andrew, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
He's one of our Legion players. He dropped Abby 2. That game was really close. I ended up trading a Skin and Bones for a Carnivian, and another one of my Skin and Bones went in and took out Proteus before he got defeat, so a lot of my stuff got to live as a result.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah. That same Skin and Bones that went into Proteus ended up living for quite a while, killed a Naga Night Lurker, and the second Carnivian he had barely managed to squeak through because my rolls for healing were 1-1-1-1-1, but managed to squeak out. He conceded after the fact that all he had left was Abby 2 and his 3 Ice Witches. Meanwhile, I still had 1 unit of Dreadrots, 2 Gremlin Swarms, Cage Rager, the Battle Engine, and my Caster. So he conceded at that point, even though he was up on points, because he had no way of really stopping me at that point.
Did he have any time that he could have used?
He was winning on time, but only by a couple minutes. But at that point, he couldn't get any more scenario points, and I would have just started racking him up as the last few turns went on. We called it at round 5, so still had 2 turns with me just being able to rack up points.
Yeah. Do you think that if he was able to, he could have squeaked into round 7, end it with more points than you?
No.
Nope.
At that point, I was on his half of the board. He had literally 1 unit left. I was able to, at that point, be able to start scoring my flag. I still had units. I had 1 unit left to be able to throw into the left zone, the right zone, and my caster to throw into the left zone.
Ah.
So I just started scoring the points, and his caster just did not have the oomph needed to take out my caster under the under the armor aura.
Jerry's with Grimkin right now. Aaron's with some Scorn. I'm playing Circle again. They're actually my favorite faction overall. I'm playing Una 2, and I am actually participating in a OWC qualifier. It's kind of a exchange qualifier because Indiana, Fort Wayne, is going to host an Ohio Warmer Hordes Championship qualifier. Toledo hosted a Indiana qualifier. So I'm going up there this Saturday with Edge and Jacob. And the the tournament itself is a warm list tournament. That's it. So I'm bringing Una 2. Brings with her in Call of the Wild with a Wilder, 5 birds, 2 Goraxes, and a Pureblood. I have a Gremlin Swarm, Lord of the Feast, 2 Black Cloud Wayfarers, and a unit of Shifting Stones, and a unit of Brigands with their Warlord. So I got to play this list twice this past Tuesday night as well. I played first into Jake. Now, for make sure everyone understands, Jake is one of our veteran players. He's one of our best players in the meta. Right now, I am about 45% success against him right now. So I'm keep trying to get to that 50% against him. I forced a feat early from Scar 2. He's playing Scar 2 with all the Satixes. And he had Barathrum and a Seether and a couple Bone Nodes.
2 Bone Nodes and a
Stalker.
Bucket? Stalker, yeah.
Yep. And then 2 full units of Whip Girls, and then the Blood Witches. I sat there and forced the feat early, and then when he feated early, I sat there and went back, which I should have, on hindsight, went to my left instead of going back, because he effectively time-walked me completely out of there. I finally got my cast, my bird onto his caster, but at the end I only had a minute and a half in. Made too many mistakes at the end of it. But, I mean, getting a bird onto a caster is a really good thing. And then after that, I got to play Dan, same Dan that Jerry played. And one of the things that Dan and I worked on after the game was the whole pre-measuring thing. A lot of people ask, you know, the threat ranges. You know, how far can you move? What's your melee range? Do you have anything that speeds it up? And that information is something that, if Dan would have applied, would have been able to really wreck my face. The problem was is that he understood my threat ranges, but he never measured it out for himself between his caster and my army. So he moved Butcher 3 within 14 inches of my birds. So when the bottom of 2 ended and I got to top of 3, it was an order of activations where I got the Gorax out of the way, cast Primal on a bird, got the other Gorax, cast Primal on another bird. Una activates, Una moves up so she can cover the birds on control. Cast Hand of Fate on the Black Clad Wayfarer, and then moved over and popped the feet, and then moved over to the birds. Or no, moved over to Black Clad Wayfarer. Black Clad Wayfarer gets Hunter's Marked onto Butcher with Hand of Fate. So pretty much birds are threatening 14 and a half inches. Under feet, I run one bird behind Butcher, go to hold him in place, and then from there, two birds came in and just wrecked the world. So, you know, the Una 2 list I'm very comfortable with. It's one I'm hoping I do well on Saturday. And if I can only get my opponents to put their casters, you know, within 14 inches of me, that I can, you know, just keep repeating it until I win. But I don't think the guys up there are going to be that stupid. They're going to be the ones that are going to give me a hard time.
Especially since some of those opponents that you've already played this list against.
Oh, yeah.
They know exactly what to not do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you've got Edge and Jake that I've been testing the list against and really refining the list. And then you've got a lot of guys that I've played with traveling around, and, you know, a lot of the indie guys have played against them with it and whatnot. So they've seen the list. They know what it does. It's going to be an uphill battle for me on the second, because we got a lot of really good guys. We got guys coming down from Toledo. We got a couple guys coming from Chicago, I believe. Maybe a couple guys from Michigan. So it's going to be a shark tank, and I can't wait. I'll probably get my face pushed in, go 0-3 or 0-4, but I'm going to have a great time doing it. Talking about what we're playing, what's next is, what are we painting? Anything on your table right now?
I'm still assembling, which is part of trying to get enthused to play. I gotta have stuff put together so I can actually make some meaningful choices in army comp. So
I told you before, if you ever need help, get over here. I'll put it all together for you.
Well, turns out I hadn't lost my glue up mojo. I had been just unable to get anything to stick. I got a new bottle of super glue, same brand. Boom, everything sticks now. It's amazing.
How old was that glue?
Probably over a year.
Yeah.
You'd think if anything it would get more sticky because the solvent would evaporate out, you'd think.
Nope.
And apparently you would be wrong.
Yeah, so what are you painting? Or what's on your hobby table, I should
right
say?
Right now I'm actually reassembling my hobby table. I'm rearranging the house, so getting stuff moved downstairs. Once I get that settled though, I'm going to be starting to paint up my Rocket Girl Riders. I got 3 of them for the upcoming release. They're going to be my officers for my 3 units of Rocket Men.
Nice.
Mm.
I never believed in the whole, oh no, this should be a grunt. It's like, no, that's a unique model.
Yep.
That is either the officer or the leader, depending upon how the unit is constructed.
Yeah. I need to get me a pair of the troll kilt lifters so I can make them my Femblade officers. Because I think they look so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a unit of brigands and the warlord I got to get painted before Saturday. I just finished the feral guys the other night. And then my plan is I'm going to sit there and get all the circle that I play completely painted. Once I get those completely painted, I've got some Legion that I need to start stripping and painting, because I've told myself that after Circle, I will not play another faction that is not fully painted. So that means I can't switch over to Legion until Legion, my lists are fully painted. I'm holding myself to that. I hope our listeners, I hope my meta holds me to that, because as much as I want to play Legion, as much as I want to play the new Grimkin that I got the other day, I really need to buckle down and just play painted, because it looks so much better.
It does, and I would do the same thing, but at the very least, the two lists I'm running right now, fully painted. If I'm going to add any more models or change the lists, those models get painted.
Yep.
I own all of Grimkin, max UA on everything, so it'll eventually all get painted.
Yeah. Well, it also helps out. I know Jerry and I have both gone up to Canada to play an Ontario Team Championship, and you get like an arm's length of raffle tickets when you go up there, and the whole team is fully painted. I know we're both planning on going up there with our team this year. We've got a team from our Centerville Loot Store and a team from our Springfield Loot Store going up as well. So when you guys listen to this, start your painting now, because March, I mean, you're sitting here going, well, it's only June. March comes fast.
Oh, it does. I had to squeak out the painting on my Grimkin real quick.
Oh, my trolls. I was sitting there painting like a week before we left.
Yep, that was me.
And that was crazy.
No, that was mostly because I kept flipping between if I was going to play Grimkin or if I was going to be playing Menoth, and I couldn't keep my Menoth casters alive. So Grimkin it was.
Yep. See, mine, I had been playing trolls the entire time. I just couldn't get them painted. Yeah, I just kept hitting blocks or stuff kept coming up. So the week before we left for Canada, I was sitting there painting every single night, trying to get everything done. And I came to the realization that I hate painting units. Oh, I can paint beasts like it's nothing. But units, I have problems with. Units, ugh. I sat there and fought with two units of Fenblades for 3 weeks, just going through it. And there was times where I just had to put the brush down, like, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore tonight. I'm done. I'm tired of seeing it.
The number of tiers are going to be going into my Crucible Guard units is going to be ridiculous. That's going to be my thinner for my paints, is my tears.
Yeah. Just, you know, cry into your paint pots.
Yep.
I see. I don't envy Aaron here, because you've got Scorn. You have all those crenellations on the infantry and all the plates and...
You know what? At the very least, that stuff I actually enjoy doing. It's the going over... It's like, at least with Scorn, it's like, okay, you know what? I want to prime them all this base red, like, rich red paint. Now I'm going to go over and just go over all these different points, like the areas on the shoulder pads... You know, the weapons, that sort of stuff, that I'm fine with. It's whenever it's like, okay, the pants are one color, the shirt's another color, oh, there's some armor here.
Ugh. but my favorite thing to paint in the past have been warjacks that I do up in different World War II camouflage schemes.
Well, see...
So I never pick out
that is a level
anything.
Of, that is a level of abuse. No, thank you.
And the funny thing is... When Aaron played Kador, he got out of Kador, and we're spoiled here in Dayton. We have three stores that have bargain bins for us, so we have a great secondary market. The funny thing is Aaron's Manowars still make the rounds of the bargain bins. Someone will buy them to get into Kador, and then they'll leave them, those camouflage Manowars, they'll leave them all painted up because, like, I don't want to paint them. They look good.
Or and they're cursed.
Or I don't think they're cursed. And then they'll get out of Kador, sell them back to the store, and then someone else will go through and get them again and keep doing it. Now, I think after the Kador theme, Manowar theme coming out, I think that whoever gets them this time is going to keep them, and they're going to get some real table time because that list looks scary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with, I'm hearing casters like Irusk being talked about with Tactician, and it's like, oh, not looking forward to it. It's going to be a rough time.
Can Irusk just die already?
That old man can't die. Sevi died, but not that old man. Karchev can't die. Irusk can't die.
And well, to be fair, Sevi died in the most epic way possible, so I don't see those two topping that.
Yeah, I mean, Karchev almost died.
I don't care. Sevi died and converted a whole bunch of Scorn to the Menelites. I don't see anyone pulling off that other than maybe Harbinger. Oh, wait, she's a Menite too.
Yeah. Frickin' Menites.
I tell ya.
So you're getting ready to paint a lot of Scorn. Do you have a color scheme picked out for them?
I'm thinking Emerald Empire, which... And then with gold, which I realize is basically just circles, default scheme, pretty much.
Yeah, but I've seen a lot of people who've done emerald and jade colors with them. I saw a topaz one that looked really sharp.
I think one difference is I'm going to go with like how they all have the cords and strings all over.
Yeah.
I'm going to do those in a nice bright red to stand
okay.
out. I'll just test that. I'll probably have to do a wash or two to kind of bring it together, or else it's going to be... You know, super primary color looking.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is what we're going to do is as we go through and we paint stuff and we get stuff together, we're going to start posting it up on the Swarm page, on the Swarmcast page, and then sharing it out to our Swarm meta and just out in the world. Give everyone a chance to see what we're doing, what we're working on. Right now, we're experiencing one of these lovely Dayton, Ohio storms out in my garage. It's actually nice because it cooled everything down.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, anything else to add to this episode?
I just got to get out there and play.
Play. That's one thing that I, on a discussion I had earlier, someone was talking about how to get good at this game, and the thing I came up with was very simple. Reps, recognizing the board state, consistency in lists, and more reps. Meaning, you know, don't change your list up after every time you play. Don't sit there and change up everything. Change one thing. Change, you know, a solo. Change, you know, maybe a unit at the most. Don't change your whole list. And then play it all the time. That's the big one. Just keep playing it. I played Kruger 2 for over a year and a half. I played, when I went into Trolls, I played Berka and Grim 1 for over 8 months. And that kind of experience helps out. You guys have anything else to add?
Nope, not this time.
All right, so this is the first episode in the can. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Jerry. This is Mike, and we are signing off for this episode.
Toodles.